Welcome you out to the Southern Region RAC meeting. My name is Dave Black. I'm the chairman of the Southern Region RAC committee. I'd like to introduce the RAC members first. I'll start down at my far right and have you guys go through.
Rusty Aiken, at large. I'm from Cedar City.
Craig Love, Marion County Agriculture.
Gene Boardman, Hinckley, public at large.
Verlin King, Bicknell, Agriculture.
Sean Kelly, Forest Service.
I'm Phil Tuttle. I'm the outreach manager for the Southern Region. I'm filling in for Kevin Bunnell, the regional supervisor, who is back east at some training.
Braden Richmond, sportsman from Beaver, Utah.
Riley Roberts from Tropic, sportsman at large.
Brian Johnson, non-consumptive from Enoch.
Okay, thank you. First action item is to approve the agenda in the minutes from our last meeting. I assume you guys have read those, and I'll entertain a motion. Craig?
I'll make a motion. We accept the minutes and the agenda.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Got a second from Rusty. All those in favor?
How about?
Hold on just a minute. Looks like we have some discussion here.
All right. The way I remembered the minutes, maybe clear me up on the minutes a little bit. I noticed that we didn't have any thing of the presentations in the minutes. Is that just the way it is?
Right. We just have our discussion typically as we go through.
So we had some comment at the first part of the meeting after we had the report from the Wildlife Board meeting. There were some comments from a RAC member about what they perceived went on at the meeting up there, and I noticed that wasn't in the minutes. Is there a reason for that?
I don't know. I know
it should have been.
We can go back and check the recording and make sure that gets.
Yeah, it was
in
on the
minutes.
Recording, but it wasn't in the minutes.
Okay.
So you're referring to the Wildlife Board meeting?
I'm referring to the RAC meeting in Cedar.
Oh, okay.
There was a comment by one of the RAC members,
Mike Worthen, I believe.
Yeah, about something that, he thought we were kind of misled on that RAC about what some of the, maybe the hunters or the trappers wanted that they didn't when he got up to the board meeting and was listening there. So
that's right. I recall that discussion.
So. And I couldn't find that in the minutes, and I was just wondering why.
We can check. I mean, we send the recording off and they get it all typed up, but we can check and make sure that it's in there. And I can follow up with you or whatever you want to do there.
Okay.
But that's it needs to be in there if it was discussed. So.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for pointing that out. With that exception, then, are you still good with your motion, Craig?
Yeah.
Good with the second?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we'll get that updated and get that out to you so you can review it. Thank you, Verlin. All those in favor? Any oppose? Looks like that's unanimous. So we would like to do an update today as well on the last Wildlife Board meeting. And there was a lot of items, if you recall, but some of the main ones I'd like to go over. And if I've misstated any of this, then somebody speak up. Tell me no. So, I got this on a couple different sheets. Hold on just a minute. What did I do with it? might have thrown the baby out with the bathwater, but I do have some notes. The waterfall recommendation rule and amendments was approved as presented. Taking of non-game mammal rule amendment was approved as presented. The big one was on the bucks, bulls, and once-in-a-lifetime season dates and application deadline. The recommendation for the early rifle hunt passed as presented, with the exception that of the units listed, the Panguitch Lake unit was not included. The cactus buck hunt on the Poncegon passed unanimous, and also they talked about the rifle hunt on the Poncegon will end on the last day of the month, and so that passed. The late muzzleloader hunt did not pass, and what they've decided to do was to wait until the deer management plan comes out in 2019, and that will be addressed again. So the units that already had the late muzzleloader hunt will stay the same. There was an addition of the beaver unit and I think one other up north, but that was according to the deer management plan the way it is now. So is that right, Donnie? Is that the way you remember that? Thank you. The boulder was taken off. Okay, according to the plan. Okay. The Oak Creek sheep hunt was passed as presented. The motion to add the late muzzleloader hunt for units that were managed 18 to 20. That's what we talked about, right? Okay, so we talked about that. Adding the archery hunt to the Newfoundland and Zion sheep units, that failed. It's going to go through the work group, and then it'll come back through the RAC process. So it's not a dead item, but it'll come back through. But it didn't pass at this time. The multi-season elk hunt tag, that passes with the provision that they'll do a survey after the first year to survey the hunters and look at satisfaction and so forth. Here at the southern region, we also included in our motion to reduce the cost from $150 to $100. That failed. That's not something we can do without going through
legislation.
For that. So that did not go through. They discussed at the Wildlife Board the motion that we presented on being able to shoot cows and bulls, like on the archery, on the muzzleloader hunt. That was discussed, but it wasn't included in any motion, so that didn't go through the board. Discussion on the cactus bucks, they're going to put in the provisions that it has to have 50% or more velvet, and that was a recommendation from our RAC, and that went through. We discussed a recommendation on the COR for hunters with limitations. That did not go through. There's already a COR for being to use a scope, and that can be any power on the crossbows. So that didn't go through. We had a recommendation from our RAC to address Hunter Orange on the premium limited entry hunts, and there wasn't a motion to address that, so that didn't go through the board. Looks like everything else on the agenda went through and passed as presented. We're going to have a regional update from Phil, and then I'll entertain some questions before we start with our next action item.
So just a couple quick things we wanted to mention. First of all, just today, kind of neat, kind of interesting. We're moving sheep from the Zion National Park over to somewhere on the North San Juan, which is exciting. This is the first time we've been able to move sheep out of the park. So we've got a big crew and a lot of our biologists that would have been here now, but they're absent because they're helping with that sheep capture. And Teresa rallied all the way from Zion to barely make it here, so we're happy she's here. We also collared 30 bucks and a bunch of does. I don't know the exact number of does that we collared on the Ponsagant unit this past month as part of the migration initiative. It'll be really interesting to follow those deer as they move across the landscape. We've never collared bucks before in Utah, so it's kind of a new deal that we're pretty excited about. It'll be really interesting to get that data back. We'll also be collaring more deer this weekend in Arizona that migrate back up into Utah. So we'll be collaring another, I believe, 20 bucks and another grundle of does as well. The biologists are currently wrapping up deer classification, which has kind of proved to be a little difficult this year with the lack of water and weather. It's been a pretty rough go as far as we all know. And that's all I have. I had to excuse Tammy, who sent an email that said she's in Vegas. Thanks.
Thank you, Phil. Did you have a question, Braden, on that?
Yeah. And I'm not quite sure how to address this. I think I may actually try to approach it as a motion today later on, but just a concern on that crossbow and the COR. There was some misunderstanding there that I want to clarify. Do you want me to talk about that now, or do you want me to wait and try to do it as a motion, or should I bring it up now? What would you prefer?
Well, you talked about your concern.
Okay. So the concern of the board is it was misunderstood, and frankly, we got an unanimous vote on it at our RAC, and I probably didn't take the time explaining it that I should have. I'm well aware that there's a COR that allows for a multi-powered scope. I'm aware of that. It was represented as though we weren't aware of that, so we didn't need to talk about it because that option was there. That's not the case. So the issue is crossbows are a less efficient weapon than a compound bow. We have an opportunity for a person to get a COR if they have some physical limitations to hunt with a crossbow in archery hunts. And there's people that really enjoy doing that. Nice season, nice time of year. The problem is currently you're required to use a fixed or one power scope on that. If you'll notice, crossbows don't come with one power scopes. They all come with power scopes. And now that we got rid of one power scopes on muzzleloaders, it makes it real difficult to even find one power scopes. So using some of the same logic that we got rid of them on muzzleloaders would also be some of the logic for getting rid of that requirement on crossbows. Now, you can go get an additional COR that will let you put a powered scope on a muzzleloader, but in order to get that, you have to have 20/40, worse than 20/40 corrected vision. Now, you know, that's more difficult to get than the original. That's fairly limiting. So what you're doing is you're already taking people that have physical limitations, you're further restricting them and giving them an inferior weapon. Now, in addition to that, let's just talk about some of the reasons you'd want a crossbow scope on your crossbow. Anybody that's ever archery hunted knows you either have multiple pins or you have movable pins. With a fixed power scope, so let me go back. You're using a less efficient weapon. This might be hard for some people to grasp. But a crossbow is a less efficient weapon than a compound bow. You get more drop, you store less energy than a compound bow. And now what you're doing is you're only allowing them to put one pin out there. So they have to sight in for 30 yards, and that's what they shoot. It goes out to 40 yards. You got a rough estimate under that. Same thing. You're using one pin, whereas on a compound bow you have multiple pins. So my proposal is we should have done it when we did the muzzleloaders. We need to get rid of that one power scope off the crossbows. Kind of interesting. I've actually been contacted by several people since this was brought up last week and said, oh, please, it's about time. I've been bringing this up now for a couple years, and last year I brought up the long meeting, was told it was the rules meeting, and the rules meeting it wasn't on the agenda. This year, and I probably messed up by not bringing it up and trying to get on the agenda, but we had the crossbow rules amendment, so I thought that was the time to do it. But then it wasn't communicated to the board correctly or understood correctly, and so my intent today is to try to get this thing through again. Go ahead. Other people.
So I'm just thinking about this, and Phil, maybe you have an idea, but I guess what I would say is two things. One is at the end, we could maybe recommend it be an action log item to be discussed. And then the other thing is definitely when we have next year's November meeting that it comes up again. So the only thing I could recommend right now is that we try to go through it again with an action log item. I know that we had two board members that were at their last RAC meeting, so I think they understood your concerns then, and all the board members read your minutes of the last RAC meeting. And
they didn't know what it was.
But so I'd just say they'll read your comments again today, which is explained very good. Thank you. And we'll suggest that it be put on an action log item, and we can vote on that, and we'll add that to the agenda after we do the Bears.
So wait till after the Bears.
Yeah.
Because there is a... We are going to be discussing some archery rule changes on the bear proclamation as well, so I thought that may be an appropriate place, but I don't want it limited to just bear archery equipment. So, and it doesn't need to go in the guidebooks. It's just a rule change that you have to find out anyway. So we'll get to it. Thank you.
All right. We'll move to the next action action item, which is... Okay.
Just in regards to the board meeting, since the board meeting, there has been a lot of kickback. I'm not sure if the other RAC members have received that same kind of input back, but there are a lot of sportsmen, especially that are up in arms and have a very strong concern about our process right now, which has been something that we've stood by for quite a few years as being one of the greatest processes in the Western United States with the RAC program and the board meeting. In regards to the decision to not support a proposal that was unanimously passed by all of the RACs, in fact only opposed by one RAC member in the entire state, and the board went against that. And there are sportsmen that are very concerned, and I think that both the RAC members and the board members need to be aware of that this very process is being it's in jeopardy of being questioned because of that. And to speak bluntly, people are people, and they say what they say. They are throwing allegations of pushing personal agendas, which always happens when you get in a public setting, and we have strong opinions of our own. But I think we need to be very aware of that. We do represent each of us a specific group, and all of us here represent the Southern region, and I hope that we as RAC members and especially the board recognize that as we move forward through these next few years and processes.
Okay. Appreciate your comments. Okay, let's move to number five. That's the 2018 Black Bear recommendations, and that'll be Darren.
See if this mic, is that going to be close enough?
Kind of tall, I don't know.
Yeah.
Does it I hate to up? Make you hold it, it doesn't.
I'll hold it.
Sorry.
No, that's good. How's that? It's on, right?
Yeah.
Good afternoon, everybody. I thought, before I start with bears, since Verlin brought up the trapping thing, I thought maybe I'd give you a quick update on that. specifically the trappers felt like I made it sound like in the racks that they instigated that trapping rule process. I went back and kind of looked at the way the presentation was formatted and the things that I said, and I feel like they have a good point. And I did go to their rendezvous and apologize to that group and said that I didn't intend to make it sound that way and didn't intend to put them on the hot seat and make it sound like they instigated the program. It sounds like I owe the RAC an apology as well, because I think that I left that impression last time that this was something the trappers were shopping, and it was more of a law enforcement thing on our side. We're also concerned about non-targeted species. And then just to wrap up, we have asked the Wildlife Board to put a committee together to look at landowner issues regarding trapping, specifically of coyotes, and see if maybe we can tweak the rule a little bit for next round. So I hope that helps a little bit. And with that, and again, I apologize. I try to be accurate. I try not to do things like that. So having said that, let's go ahead and move on with the black bear recommendations for this year. I thought I'd just quickly give some background, if this will, there we go, on bear management in Utah. First of all, the mission of the Division of Wildlife Resources is to serve the people of Utah as a trustee and guardian of the state's wildlife. In that role, the Division of Wildlife Resources actively manages black bear populations in the state. And one key part of that management strategy is hunting, legal hunting. One of the reasons that we feel strongly about hunting as part of bear management is it builds and maintains interest and support for the species. And you can see, as I get into a little bit of history, you can see how that has made bear management possible. It allows our biologists to meet our management parameters, and it also helps us to address conflicts, whether it be with livestock or campgrounds or things like that. In Utah, we've managed bears actively as a state entity for 50 years, and the reason bears are on that list of managed wildlife species is because sportsmen in 1967 approached the legislature and requested that lions and bears be actively managed by the state. Before that, they're similar to coyotes. You could take them anytime, anywhere. After that, they did receive some protected status, but the seasons were pretty wide open, and it doesn't look like that many bears were taken. It was probably like 7 or 10 a year, something like that. Not too many. In 1986, the division felt like there's a lot of gaps in our knowledge on black bears. We didn't know a lot about them, didn't know a lot about their life history, and so a lot of studies were instigated in the mid-80s, and we learned quite a bit. And so in 1998-99, we put together the first black bear management plan as a result of a discussion group that talked about kind of what the results of a lot of the studies were. That plan was reviewed in 2011 and actually 2010. And so the current plan for black bear management is a plan that goes from 2011 to 2023 with 3-year evaluation cycles. As part of that evaluation process, in 2015, we made some significant changes to hunting opportunities. Instigated a lot of lower success type of opportunities like spot and stalk, you know, boot hunt kind of things. Changed some seasons around, and you'll see as we move through this how those changes have affected permit numbers. So what does the black bear management plan say? The goal of the plan is to maintain healthy bear populations in existing occupied habitat and expand distribution while considering human safety, economic concerns, and other wildlife species. And the plan defines a healthy bear population as one with proportion of breeding age animals that will maintain population levels consistent with habitat and also maintains genetic viability. So the way that we get at that is by our management plan parameters. I'll be happy to answer any questions anyone has on this. I think in the interest of time, I'm not going to dive too deep into it right now. But we manage under 3 harvest strategies: light, moderate, and liberal. Light harvest is maybe in areas where you don't have very many bears. You don't have a lot of conflicts. We may want to grow bears in those areas. Liberal are in areas where we do have conflicts or we have dense bear populations, and we actually are trying to lower overall bear populations on those units. And then moderate is in between. And then you can see there are two parameters in each of those, adult males and adult females, and that dictates how we make permit recommendations. If those two management objectives are outside of the parameters in a positive direction, we recommend more permits. If they're outside in a negative direction, we'd recommend less. If one is in and one is out, then there's some ways we can address that as well. All the recommendations you see tonight are going to be in compliance with the plan parameters. There were some items that came up during the process last year, six items that the board asked us. They weren't action items, but they asked us to take a look at it over this year. The first was a way to evaluate better population estimates. We've actually done that. I'll present some results tonight of that effort. Additionally, we're looking to try and get more callers out. We've got callers coming in December, so we're going to try to catch more female bears and look at those birth pulses, especially on units with dense bear numbers. And then there are other things that I think are worth looking at. BYU is working with some chemists right now to see if we can isolate some scents that are really attractive to bears. And if we can do that, we can use this hair snare kind of study where bears, we can get DNA, identify individual bears, and make an estimate that way. So those are some of the things we're looking at. They ask us to review the Book Cliffs hunting seasons. The recommendation last year was to take the La Salle and San Juan seasons and implement them on the Book Cliffs. We actually had a discussion group get together. Here are the members that we invited to that group. We had a lot of good discussions, and most of our discussions focused around seasons and season dates, and I think we'll have more discussions about that tonight. One thing that we got a pretty good consensus on a Book Cliffs alternate framework. We brought that back internally after our discussions, and we started identifying other things that we felt like we needed to address. But we were late enough in the cycle, we didn't feel like we could give it the attention it deserves. And that includes things like allowing, on the La Salles, we got a lot of hunters that are hitting those mountains, and we're kind of piling them all on top of each other. And so there's some issues like that. There's some depredation issues. What we'd like to do, and you'll see in our recommendations, is to wait another year and in the spring tackle all those things at once, make any changes we want to make all at once so that we have all the changes occur in a single year. Going back to the list here real quick. Preference points instead of preference points on restricted pursuit units. So we have three: Book Cliffs, La Salle, San Juan have a restricted pursuit summer seasons. We have a recommendation along those lines. I'll get to that here in the presentation. Another thing they wanted us to look at, there was some discussion about restricting the number of dogs that you could have in a pack. When you went afield, we talked about that in the group. Our law enforcement guys say it's almost impossible to enforce a pack size limit. We do have some limitations on those restricted hunts. The group felt like the best approach would be, if there are problems, if we see complaints, to go the restricted pursuit route. Just limit the number of hunters that can be afield rather than try to do that. Average pack size from all of our data is about 10. It could be as high as 12. The talk was about 8. But again, once all those dogs are out in the field, it's tough to tell who belongs to who. So we're not going to make any recommendations tonight regarding pack size. The La Salles and San Juan units have been running a kind of an experiment to look at pursuit pressure. They've had a light pursuit unit, which has been the the La Salle's unit for the last 3 years and a heavy pursuit unit, which has been in the San Juan. What they want to do is flip that and do it for 3 years. So you'll see that in the recommendations. The permits on the La Salle's went up. The pursuit permits on the San Juan went down. After this next three-year cycle, they want to kind of look at. The concern is that they feel like they started seeing a lot of bears showing up in Moab and things like that, and they wondered if that was because there are a lot of people pursuing bears or if that was just kind of a weather thing. Or so they wanted to just kind of try alternating the pressure and see if it did anything. So, and finally, there was some concern about having harvest objective units on units that are dominated by public land. The plan says we'll avoid using harvest objective on lands that are dominated by public land. The main concern here, I think, was with the Wasatch, and you'll see that we've got a recommendation this year that addresses that specifically on that specific unit. So let's get into the data a little bit. Here are the numbers for the last 4 years' seasons. We're running about 50% success. The 2017 numbers are compiled at the end of October before all the hunts are over. So those are close, but they could change as those last late season numbers roll in. But about 50% success, a little less. Statewide harvest has been increasing steadily since 2014. Here's a graph that shows kind of the same thing. So the orange line are the number of permits we've issued since 1990. The red line are the number of bears harvested by sportsmen. You can see that number's been growing. And if you look there at 2015, you can see there was a big jump on the permits issued line. That reflects a lot of those changes we made that year. And again, if you have lower success hunts, you can put more permits out there and not necessarily see a huge increase in harvest. I think one of the main reasons that we've seen an increase in harvest is this is our population status trend line. So this line represents the minimum adult proportion of black bears. So anything 2 years old or older in the harvest. The main take home here is trend. This is just based on our harvest data. So these are bears that actually come to us and we check in. So bears we know were alive and we can back calculate based on that. But the trend has been growing since 2000. We might be seeing a little bit of a leveling off over the last few years, but you can see we kind of had the same thing in 08, 09, and then it picked up again. So we'll keep an eye on it. The plan is made to take this into account. So if we do see bear numbers dipping, then recommendations should reflect that. This graph illustrates the sport harvest compared to the depredation mortality. So the orange line here are the number of bears taken by wildlife services or by the division that are killed because they're in depredation situations, whether that's livestock or in some cases melons and sunflowers in the southeastern region, that kind of thing. So it can be agricultural. And the red line are what sportsmen are taking. And I think given a growing bear population, this just illustrates that depredation mortality over the last 10 years or so has remained, it bounces around a little bit. It's been fairly steady. All of that increase in harvest has been enjoyed by sportsmen. So when you have a growing bear population, then sportsmen have been able to take advantage of that increase. So here's our season recommendations. Spring limited entry, March 31st through June 1st. Summer limited entry, this is a change. We're recommending that hunt start May 26th, which is a week earlier than it currently is, but that there will be no early baiting. So you used to be able to put your bait out 2 weeks early. What we're recommending is that you don't have that early bait season. You can go ahead and start hunting as soon as you put your baits out. You can do that a week earlier. From a biological standpoint, we feel like that's a good compromise. It's not quite, you don't quite have the sows out with the cubs yet. We're really concerned given what's happened in some of the states around us about losing, you know, hound hunting, and we want to be sensitive to putting cubs in a situation where dogs might pick them up. And so this should be a pretty good biological recommendation. We also talked to the Bowman's Association, and they're supportive of letting them go ahead and start hunting a week earlier. Fall limited entry, no changes here, just changes to the calendar date. So August 18th, September 24th, November 3rd through November 15th. Multi-season is just an opportunity to hunt those various seasons, so the season dates will reflect the individual hunt dates. And finally, harvest objective, March 31st through June 1st. And there's an additional harvest objective hunt on the 9 mile that has some special dates. It's spot and stock only, but September 25th through October 26th. There are a few units that have different hunt dates, so those others are statewide, with the exception of these. So on the Book Cliffs, Bitter Creek South, we're recommending an archery-only hunt August 6th through September 7th, and then dogs and bait October 1st through November 15th. On the roadless area, archery only, same dates. Spot and stock, March 31st through June 1st, and then again September 8th through November 15th. On the LaSalle and San Juan, dogs and bait, October 11th through September 14th, and no dogs, September 15th through 24th. But if you're hunting bait or spot and stock, you can continue to hunt during that period. And that's the time that overlaps their limited entry elk, rifle elk season. And then again, November 3rd through November 15th. And they're recommending a fall spot and stock hunt October 2nd through the 23rd. Here are the individual region permit recommendations. If it's in color, there's a change. So the Book Cliffs, Little Creek Roadless are recommending 3 additional. Northern Region is recommending 2 additional permits on the Chalk Creek Camas North Slope. Southeast, what did I miss one? Yes, Central. Central is recommending additional 3 permits on the Central Mountains Nevo. We're also recommending that the Wasatch Mountains West Central be changed from harvest objective to limited entry, and that we add an additional 10 permits on that unit. Southeastern region is where most of our bears live, and so there you'll see the biggest increases here. So increases on all units, 7 on the Central Mountains Manti North and South, 25 on the LaSalle, 9 on the 9 mile, 25 on the San Juan. Southern region, 2 more on the Beaver, 2 on the Panguitch Lake Zion unit, 2 on the Ponsagant, and 1 on the Fish Lake Thousand Lakes, Plateau Fish Lake Thousand Lakes. General pursuit seasons, those dates, again, no change here, just a change for the calendar. Restricted pursuit seasons here, again, a change on the calendar, but no change to seasons. We're also recommending that we amend Rule R657-62 to allow bonus points for restricted pursuit seasons with a 2-year waiting period. So this just, the reason we're not going with a preference point is because that's just, once you get a point, you have to wait for everybody to draw out before you get to draw again. We looked at the numbers there, and it'd probably be about 25 years before somebody could draw again. That's what the odds are on those. So a bonus point at least allows half of those people that put in to draw without points. So we felt like this would be a better way to go. So that's why we're recommending bonus points instead of preference points. And then the final, this reflects changes that the board adopted at the last board meeting. They made changes to the archery tackle regulations, and we're just reflecting those in the bear rule so that you don't have to have a different bow if you're hunting bears. And so we're recommending that instead of 40-pound draw weight, we drop that to 30, remove the arrow weight restriction, crossbows. We're removing the language on the 14-inch draw length and the 18-inch stock length. And then we cleaned up some language. There's references in the rule to prima facie evidence. We changed that to probable cause. That's a legal distinction about presumption of innocence. We need to make sure that was cleaned up. And added some language about the bonus point. So in summary, we're recommending a change of the summer bait season from to May 26th through June 29th with no early baiting. We're recommending 860 total bear permits. That's an increase of 102 permits over last year. We're recommending bonus points for restricted pursuit seasons with two-year waiting period and archery and crossbow changes to reflect the big game rule. And that's all I have.
Do we have any questions from the rack? Ryan?
This working.
Wow, that's...
Are we good? Okay. Out of the working group that you had, the committee, what was the dates on the summer season that came out of that?
I think the Houndsman will present that tonight. But let me... So for the
summer baiting season, what dates did you guys come up with in that working group?
So this is summer. It's actually fall hound season.
No, so, I'm asking.
Oh, for the baiting season.
I'm asking what was the dates that you guys came out of the committee. What was the recommendation from the committee?
The committee, we talked about letting them start hunting 2 weeks early. The division always has had concerns about pushing.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I just was wondering. You got nine different groups.
Right.
Of people, and the houndsmen are included in that group.
Yeah.
And they were totally fine about.
That was what the group talked about. We still had concerns about that, and so we sat down with the Bowmen were the ones that proposed this season, this extension. But we did sit down with Yuba and worked out this compromise.
And I understand why the Bowmen are actually concerned about that, because it used to be you couldn't bait unless you were hunting with a bow.
Right.
Now everybody can hunt with a over bait.
Right.
And so that's why I just think it's that's the thing I just don't understand. And I necessarily wasn't. This is maybe. I'm trying to decide if this is a comment or a question. I just don't understand that when I drew my Zion tag back in 2002, how I was forced to bait from April 5th, from the second week of April, and it was over by the last day of May. I was forced to bait those days, and it was biologically a good idea then. And now that we can shoot them with a rifle, it's biologically a bad idea to do it 2 weeks earlier, like this committee says. And you don't need to answer that, because, I mean, anyway, maybe you should answer it. Yeah.
Okay. The division's always had concerns about that early baiting season. In fact, we recommended that we not start baiting 2 weeks before the beginning of that bait season. But
you can't. Your kill's going to be.
Need some time then, Mike.
That's more of a comment. I will make this other question.
So, again, you know, given the current status of things, we felt like this was a compromise we could live with.
Thank you, Braden.
I didn't have a question, but now I do.
Okay.
You said the division has concerns with it, but you haven't said what the concern is. And if the working group didn't have a concern, then I am curious.
Yeah. There are actually some members of that group here tonight, Guy and Bryce, so they can maybe speak to how the group felt about that.
But the group was unanimously okay for having it 2 weeks early.
Right. Yeah, I mean, our biggest concerns are... The earlier you get with bait, the more likely you are to have cubs find those set baits. And we want to avoid the reason that we separated those hunts in time. So the reason that we allowed to, initially there was no early baiting. The initial proposal, initial structure was that the bait hunt started at the end of the hound hunt. And we were okay with that because those sows come out of the den. They tend to kind of hang around with small cubs for a while. They don't really start getting out and around until that bait hunt kicks off, and then the hounds would be out of the field. But we feel like a one-week extension on that is still not early enough that we'll see a lot of sows and cubs. The biggest thing is there's a lot of we have concerns about running hounds off of bait. And when you have bait in the field and hounds in the field, there's a potential for that to happen. One good thing about this is that now you'll have someone sitting in the tree watching the bait, and so there may be a little bit of less of that. But again, it's something that we felt like was better than having a whole two-week period.
All right, and maybe I'm just not understanding something here. Because I thought that what you said is that the later you go, the more likely you are to have cubs. And so now we're baiting later, so that would lead me to believe we're more likely to have cubs. And the earlier you go,
right,
the less likely they are to have cubs.
What I mean is,
but we don't want to have it earlier because cubs might be there?
The longer the bait is in the field, the more likely a sow is to
okay,
discover
so,
that.
Okay, the longer it's in the field.
Right. Yeah.
And the concern there is having hounds run off the baits.
Right.
Brother? Got a couple questions, not nearly as controversial.
Sure.
I promise. Do you happen to have any of the harvest statistics on the spot and stock specifically?
It's low.
I imagine it would be. I mean,
I could look it up, but it's probably
yeah.
Less than
that's 10%. Just something that I'd be curious on. And then in addition, how I mean, we've got 102 additional. I mean, there's a ton more bears, and I think we all that have been in the field see that, and that's a good thing. How do you allocate those? Is there an algorithm, or you just throw them on? How do you decide which?
It's up to the region.
Okay.
How they want to divvy those out between the hunts. One thing though, you know, we talked about season dates, and I'm sure we'll talk more about it, but one of our concerns is that we're starting to get, you know, we have these long dates. We're starting to really, especially on some of these dense units, have a lot of guys in the field hunting at the same time. And one of the things we want to look at next spring and talk about possibly next cycle is, you know, we may need to split some of those up or come up with some new opportunities. These units, generally, they need bears harvested. And so, you know, you can put a lot of people in the field on a low success hunt, but that's not necessarily what we're trying to do with the plan either. So,
right. So
we're looking at having a good discussion about structure as well.
Okay, thanks.
I have more questions, but I wanted to pause so I could change gears because these are different, wholly different. First question, I don't understand the pack size, where that came from. Was that a division concern or was that public concern?
It was a public concern.
That was a public concern.
So it came out of the southeastern rack. It was something they brought up in their rack.
Just curious. And then the real question I had, could you walk me through the beaver? I'm not sure I'm understanding, particularly the beaver recommendation, where on that sheet where it's saying percent adult male and percent female, is that what was? Walk me through that. I guess I'm really going with this. I'm surprised that we're only recommending an increase of 2 permits on the beaver, being that's my backyard. You know, what I'm hearing is people are seeing significantly more bears on it. So
right.
Just kind of curious if you could walk me through an example of how we came up with those.
Yeah, I can tell you how it works. And then, of course, the region's here, and they can address it as well. So the stats on the beaver, 26.5, you know what, let me, because it's important how it, what the management strategy is on that. It's a liberal unit. So you want to see low male harvest and high female harvest on that unit. So 26.5% male, 45.9% female. So what the plan says is that unit can be adjusted 20%, at a max of 20%, one way or the other. So you could go from zero, according to the plan, to four. So four would be the max. As far as the recommendation of one...
What are the numbers, 26.5 and 45.9 represent?
So that's percent. So 26.5 are the percent of adult males in the harvest. Right. Three years. Yeah, that's based on the last 3 years.
And so the missing percentage of cubs?
Right. No, we don't look at cubs. So the percent female are the total number of females in the harvest. But yeah, okay, adult male, so that'd be 5 years or older.
Okay, so five years or older. Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, sorry.
Do I have questions down on my right? Go ahead, Gene.
It used to be that when the spring hunt started, when the bears came out, the houndsmen showed up and they pursued bears to tree them. And if they happened to run into somebody with a kill permit, they were pretty happy about it. Now, we've got all these pursuit hunts. Do they still pursue during the spring rifle hunt?
No, you can pursue.
Do you have to have a kill tag in order to pursue bears?
Yeah.
During the
exception of that, if you're a guide, and you know there's some, if you're a guide and you're registered, you can guide someone that's got a kill permit in spring. But for the most part, yeah, you've got to have a kill tag in your pocket.
And then you have the separate hunt for just pursuit.
Right. And then the pursuit seasons are different.
Pursuit all spring.
Right. Yeah. Do they overlap? Is that what you mean?
It's open pursuit all spring.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got you. Sorry about that.
You're asking me. From March 31st to June 1st, we can chase bears every day, all day.
Okay. So it's okay. The same as it was.
So I was wrong.
Before,
yeah,
on the spring hunt. Okay. Appreciate that.
Anybody else on my right? Gene or Craig?
I spent a lot of time on the boulders this year, and I saw a ton of bears. I wondered how come there's no more permits over there. I've been hunting over there for 25 years in the fall. I see a bear occasionally. This year I saw three, and I know of five different bears
right there.
Paul,
do you want to answer that?
Why there's no more permits?
Yeah.
We increased it by two. We're asking to increase it by two.
So
unless I've got the wrong paperwork, my sheet says it's going from 48 to 50. Am I off?
No,
that's right.
Let me go back to it.
No, that's the old system.
Yeah, it didn't show up. I must have missed that.
Well, I don't know that he's killing more bears. I don't know. Pursuit's not the good point.
Sorry. Yeah, I just want to get that.
So the total is 50, is that correct?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the rack? Okay, go ahead, Vernon.
Now, when you were talking about all the book cliffs and the LaSalle,
Brett,
and this group that you invited to discuss issues Is there depredation, much depredation problem out there with bear? Is that why there's no livestock?
Book cliffs, no. The LaSalle's in San Juan, it's more of an agricultural problem, sunflowers and melons and things like that.
So. Okay, so on this list of people who are invited, is that, I guess, a non-hunting representative?
There was one, and
was
they...
Was there livestock, know, agriculture represented there on that?
No. No, just the list there that we were talking about season dates.
Okay, so that's all you discussed was season dates.
Right, yeah. And the specific question was, can we take the San Juan season and implement it on the book cliffs? That's what we were looking at.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Before I open up questions to the audience, if you want to make a comment, we need to have comment cards, and so far I have three. At this time, we do open it up for questions, and we ask that you keep that two questions. If you want to fill out comment cards, give it to the guys in the back, and they'll bring them up. So do I have any questions from the audience? If you do have a question, come up to this mic and be sure you state your name. Okay. Let's go to the comment cards then. The first comment is John Keeler, and he'll be followed by Guy Webster.
John Keeler with the Utah Farm Bureau. In this graph that was presented, the permits issued in sports harvest, it looks like that graph continues to widen. We have had a lot of conflicts this year with bear and sheep in particular, but with cattle as well, in several areas. We have some livestock operators here tonight. But on the Ponsagant, it's reported, you know, the Heatons had a lot of conflict there, the Hansons in northern San Pete. Extension agent in Beaver indicated that there were a lot of activity there as well. It appears that the permit numbers, or at least the harvest, is not keeping up with the numbers. And even though it looks like there's a leveling off of the population, we need to be very aggressive, especially in those areas that they have these conflicts. These sheep operators are losing a lot of animals, and part of the management goals is to be concerned about the economic situation that these animals create with these operations. And so it looks like there's opportunity to have a few more permits issued. And I certainly don't know the magic number, but it appears that the beaver, the Central Mountains, even though there's an increase of seven, there's considerable conflicts. And you're going to comment? Okay. He'll comment on that. So we would recommend that there be even more permits issued in these conflict areas because they're significant problems.
John, could I get you to list those again? You talked about Beaver, Central Mountains. You
okay.
mentioned the Ponsagant. Was there something in addition to that?
The Heatons had indicated that they had a lot of sightings, had a lot of conflicts on the Ponsagant. And Beaver Mountain, and Hansen's can address the
controls. Okay. Thank you. Okay, next will be Guy Webster, followed by Bryce Peeling.
Guy Webster here representing Utah Handling Association. I was a member on the committee that we put together. We had two meetings, discussed a lot of what it was to come up with this. This was part of the 12 bear management plan that we reviewed it 6 years. This was the 6 years, so the committee was put together and things. To address your questions on the archery being allowed, or the baiting coming a little bit earlier, that was, we did have a bit of discussion on that. The Houndsman Association, in agreement with everybody else, agreed to allow that 1 week earlier to be there on baits. That was initially, from our perspective, to deal with conflicts of hounds getting on baits, somebody setting a bait out, hounds coming through, chasing that bear off. Partly was, good share of why that was separated. We agreed to go back with that, with the understanding that if your bait people come back next year and say, oh, well, we had dogs running off our bait, that the hound guys don't lose that, that we allowed it to come back. But that was a big concern and stuff. But we think we can both be on the mountain at the same time, give opportunity for each other and not have problems that way. Just through this, hopefully you all got this email, but I just had him hand it out again. The Hound Association, we are in agreement with the plan of the DWR, with the exception of the LaSalle's, Book Cliffs, and San Juan. Big portion of this discussion, it was unanimous. So I wish we would have voted on it, but I can tell you that the vote would have been a unanimous vote that we do change those season dates. The Book Cliffs has been just in October, very, very minimal harvest on that October to November season. People don't want to run their dogs during the spike elk hunt, which is a general spike hunt, rifle deer hunt. People aren't running their dogs up there, so the opportunity is not there for a fall bear harvest. LaSalle's and San Juan, we chose to look at this. There's a lot of complaints coming out from those areas, anywhere from 30 to 60 documented complaints. It's, you know, it's a hard for, I haven't seen the complaints, but that's what we're getting told. We have decided to take an active approach of let's do what we can to minimize or reduce those complaints altogether. And so, therefore, we've proposed a fall season dates on all three of these units to mirror each other, to help in law enforcement to minimize these complaints, of being August 6th to November 16th. But hounds would not be allowed on the mountain August 18th to 24th. That's the first week of your archery elk, your archery deer hunts. On LaSalle's, primarily talking to the biologists during that committee meeting, the bulk of the complaints from archery deer hunters was the first week of the archery hunt. They felt confident that if we did away with the first week of hounds being on the mountain, that the deer hunters would be happy. The Bowmans were actually fully supportive, actually come up, propose this. And then again, being close, September 8th to 25th, that is the last week of the archery elk, the last week of the archery deer, the entire limited entry elk, and goes into the muzzleloader elk. If you still had a valid bear tag in your possession, you could still harvest the bear during those dates, any of those dates outside of it, but you wouldn't be allowed to have dogs on the mountain. I think that putting this off for a year is irresponsible. We know there's a problem. We need to address that problem. Living in Green River, I attend the Southeast Rack. I have for decades. I've been in the hounds for well over 30 years, been to meetings for every one of those years. And we just need to do something now. I hope you look at that. I hope you address it as a board, and you make a motion on this. We've talked about the possibility of reconvening another committee next year. That goes outside of the plan. Who knows what will or won't happen with that. But that doesn't fall within the plan guidelines. The plan guidelines calls for it this year, and we did what this year said and followed the management plan that you guys, as well as the Wildlife Board, voted and adopted that plan and stuff. And with those fall dates, you know, we're talking 6 bear tags on the Book Cliffs, 5 on the LaSalle's, 5 on the San Juan. Not a great deal of hunters, but for those hunters that are fortunate enough to draw those, a very, very valuable hunt. Anywhere from 12, 13, 14 years to draw those tags for those hunts. Don't want to lose that opportunity, and yet we feel through all these groups, SFW was on board with this, Elk Foundation was on board with this, Utah Bowmans were actually the ones that proposed it. Mule Deer Foundation has not come out strongly for or against it, but it was a consensus of everybody in that room that we go with these dates and it would address the problems. majority, you know, there was nobody saying, hey, this isn't going to work. So, you know, we're coming here and we're asking for that with support of all of those groups. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer. If you go through this, like I said, I was on the committee, attended all the meetings on it. I'd be more than happy to try to help you if you have questions of what the committee did come up with and what we did discuss and the reasoning of why we did what we did. Thank you.
Thank you.
I got a question. There's two book lists listed. Are you performing both of them? You're looking, the road list would not change. Currently, there are no dogs allowed in the roadless. That's something we'll address in the future, but it would not apply to the roadless. This is the Bitter Creek South unit.
Thank you. Following Bryce, we'll have Cam Albrecht.
Bryce Pilling, Sportsman for Fish and Wildlife. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We support the DWR's recommendations. We also support the Houndsman's recommendation, and I sit on that committee also. So thank you.
Thank you. After Cam, we'll have Will Talbot.
And it's not Cam.
Oh. Do we have an Albrecht here? Carl? Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank all of you. I know it's a thankless position to be in. It's a tough group out here to satisfy everybody's wishes. I'm just speaking for myself personally. Since I retired almost 4 years ago, I've kind of gotten the habit of putting out game cameras. And the area I want to speak to is the Boulder. I've had over 20 cameras from the Anemone Rim all the way to the top of Boulder on the west side. And steadily increased in bears on those cameras from 5 the first year to 8 to 12 to 13 this year. I just feel like in that area, it would be good if we took more than two, increased more than two, that your recommendation is. The Boulder, for some reason, holds a lot of bears. They do well there. And they're beginning to be a problem, not only for the sportsmen, but the cattlemen, the sheepmen, all of us in this room. And I think we need to take another look at the Boulder Mountain. And I appreciate listening to me. Thank you.
Okay, and then after Will, we'll have Michael Hansen.
Will Talbot, Paiute County Commissioner, Rancher. Just a few numbers for you. When we got home this fall with that herd of sheep that comes off that Boulder Mountain, we were setting about 295, 6 head short. So I questioned the other two permittees that's out there with a herd of sheep and found that their numbers were very high, over 200 almost for each of them. So that added to another 400, almost 700 deaths on three herds on the Boulder Mountain. Also, we're on a herd on the Monroe Mountain, which I refuse to go back because of the predator problems. But the other guys I've talked to, Stan Gleave on the Dutton with two herds, one on the Monroe, lost 813 head of sheep. I'm not going to say it's all bear. It's contributing factors of a lot of things, lions, coyotes, ones that just want to die. But there is more conflict with bears. It's especially in the last 4 to 5 years. And on the Monroe, I hate to look at that sheet and see one bear permit put on the Monroe, because I've lived there my whole life, and it's just, you see it increasing. What Carl said about the cameras, I haven't talked to a hunter that didn't have a camera up there that didn't have a bear on it from each end of the mountain. So, you know, and to echo what Carl said, the Boulder Mountain's clear full of them. To recommend just two tags, I would like to see that go up. So, thank you.
Thank you.
My next question. I'm just curious. You
said the number 700, but for me, I have no idea what that represents. I don't know what it was 3 years ago. I also don't know how many you run. Could you maybe clarify that a little bit, what you've seen, you know, maybe 3-4 years ago and what it is now and how many total sheep that is? Is it 1%? Is it 20%? I have no idea.
So them three herds on the bull, there's pretty roughly 1,500 head, give or take just a few head. So what is that? That's 4,500 head of ewes that go on the Boulder Mountain. And I don't even count the other that I have on another part of the Boulder. But the guard dogs have been pretty effective. But I'll tell you what, they must have been asleep all summer. Actually, we had one attacked. Didn't kill him, but he was bit up pretty hard. So, you know, they're there. We went from almost 150 head increase on death from last year.
From last year.
On that. And if you really want some numbers, if you total what they lost on the Dutton, the Monroe, and the Boulder Mountain, say them were all lambs, 100-pound lambs, that's $75,000 a truckload. That's three truckloads. And that money comes out of the economic of Paiute County and Wayne County. And Sevier sees a lot of it, too, when them guys are spending money. So.
Thank you, Will.
Michael Hansen, Sampete, raised sheep. And I would take an increase on that North Manti. I can't even guess the number. I'm so tired and tired of the losses we're taking. Since 07, when they started transplanting them and they pulled that boy out of the tent and killed him, and it's on the news and you see him transplanting, our fatalities have quadrupled. We went on those two permits we've got two permits side by side. Between the two, we used to lose 25 to 35 average, 50 a summer, total losses, and we're 135 to 160 a year. Guaranteed. I mean, you're talking $15,000 to $18,000 every year. And the bear, I mean, my dad herded there for 30 years, and he was the sheep herder. He never pulled a trigger on a bear. And since 07, on those two allotments, I mean, we used to get, with the trappers, maybe one out of 3 years, they'd get a bear on one or the other. If you had a bear in the sheep, they'd come with the dogs, 7 out of 10 times, chase at the neighbors, and you were done for the summer. They're getting 7 to 10 bear between those permits a year.
That they're killing?
That they're killing. And you guys, as sportsmen, why aren't you? I mean, because they don't have the tax. It's ridiculous. If you can't find a bear on our permit, get off your four-wheeler. And I herded there for 5 summers religiously, and I hunted and I never saw a bear from 89 to 93. Never saw a bear. And we always had them. I mean, they were there. You could find the tracks. You could find everything. Now, you can't go anywhere without it. I mean, a couple of years ago, I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact year, but on that permit, had 9 bear, and my herder called me in September, and they kind of quit in September because your berries and everything else come on. He called me, he says, problems. I says, what? He says, 5 more bears this canyon. I says, horse shit. I says, there's 7 bear got killed out of that canyon. It's the line between the two. He says, one guy is coming, speaking, 5 more bears. I says, what? He's got a camera. Says, yeah. I says, it's 1 or 2 bears. He says, no, I see the pictures. It's 5 different bears after we got that. And the majority are tagged. And that's what's frustrating. I mean, they are transplanted. If they're going to dump bear, then dump tags. Or don't dump bear. So.
Thank you. That's all the comment cards that I have. Okay, we'll close this part of the discussion then. Do we have comments from the rack? Braden.
taken more than my fair share of mic time tonight, but I do have another question. Just curious, do we have any sort of objective that we try to stay under on bears? Do we have any units where we're trying to decrease populations? You know, we love to decrease animals we like to look at.
We do. There are six units that are managed under the liberal harvest strategy, and that is intended to reduce bear numbers, and I can tell you what they are here.
Okay, and so that may be answering my question. The liberal harvest is intended to reduce bear numbers.
Right.
That's the intent of it.
And so, I've got it here if you want to know what units, but yeah, there's six that are managed that way, and that's intended to.
Okay. I may have more comments, Mr. Chairman, but I have one to follow up this. So now my comments, my question. If our intent is to reduce bears on these, it sure seems like we get more aggressive reducing elk and antelope and everything else besides bears. I mean, we're always asking to go over the recommendation, but we aren't even meeting the minimum allotment here, would be my comment. So, you know, especially on our liberal units, let's at least meet the maximum adjustment by the rule.
I just have a question. With the liberal units, do they include some of the ones that were addressed today, like the Beaver?
Yes, some do.
Central Mountain, Pontagon?
Yeah, let me tell you which ones. Let's see. Wasatch Mountains of Inaquin, Current Creek is liberal. Wasatch Mountains West is liberal. I want to make sure I'm on the right one. The 9 Mile, Central Mountains Nebo, and the Beaver are all liberal. And then most of the rest are moderate. And those you could go either way. You're trying to maintain, but if you've got problems, then we try to address them.
Okay. Any other comments from Riley?
This is actually a question as well. On some of the units that we've heard discussion on, I'm a firm believer that the individuals that show up are the individuals that get the voice at these. And so we've had comments on the Mantine North, which I completely understand the concern there with increase, but it looks like the increase is at the max on that one with the increase of 7, which falls within the management plan. And although I, trust me, a lot of these board members, RAC members here can tell you that I'm not a firm believer in a lot of the management plans, especially when it comes to like cow elk on the Dutton. But that is the plan that we have to work within. And so even though we may have that opinion, I can appreciate that the division's recommendation is at least going to the max on that. The question I would have is, like the Boulder, we do have, that was one of the ones that was mentioned, there is an increase there of 2 with a max adjustment of up to 10. I would actually like to get some input from our houndsmen that are here tonight and what their thoughts are, the sportsmen, because that's who I represent. What are your thoughts on the numbers? I know we've got the email that says that the Houndsmen's Association supports the recommendations, but there's also talk that, I mean, there's some of these areas that may need to be increased. I'd like to hear some thought there if possible.
Do I have somebody from the Houndsmen that wanted to address that? Okay. Please state your name when you come to mic.
Jeff Brewer is my name. I'm a member of the Houndsmen Association. I've had hounds for 36 years. I guess I'm getting old. Run dogs all that time. I've hunted the Boulder a lot. I like the Boulder. A lot of the people in the Boulder see me, know me, are there. The bear population on the Boulder is good. Is it out of control? No. Is it hard to find a big, older male bear? Yeah. Are there some? Yes. Yes. Is it a place that we should have a host of increase of tags, in my opinion? No. No. The last fall tag I had with a guy, we hunted 9 straight days, and we caught a couple smaller bears, but no big bears, nothing that somebody would be proud of. Of course, there's always circumstances and situations, you know, and everybody questioning everybody, your dogs. But I've actually been at it a long time and caught a lot of bears over the years. The big thing I would say is that we don't swing too hard, too fast, one way or another. We make smart decisions. I'm not trying to hurt these guys and their livelihood or anything like that. And I think that's what we got. Wildlife Services should come in and also assist them. You know, I'd like to ask, did they come in and kill some of those bears?
Oh, yes, but it never slows. That's the kicker. It's year after year after year. I mean, if it was a deal.
Can we have you come to the... Maybe the mic. We need to keep our conversation either on the mic or off the floor.
I mean, we all want to get along. We want to make it work. You know, the recommendations are, could you slide it some? Yes. Yes. Does it need to be shifted way hard? You know, there's always danger in that. There's always those groups. I don't know that any of you are here tonight or trying to take it away from us. We want to get along. Guy made a great presentation. We want to get along with the bow hunters. You know, we backed up and let them bait a week into what we think's our season in the spring, you know, because they accuse us of running off their baits, but that's really not how it works. I think somebody needs to explain, when you're hunting down a road with dogs and there's a bait up on the hill, you don't know that bait's there. My dogs don't know the bait's there. They smell bear, and they go to it. And there's lots of logical places that we as houndsmen run roads and hunt, and we just try to get along and make it work. I think that proposal will work. You know, originally when we threw the baiters into the summer season, that was to kind of split us up. So, I don't know. Do I answer the question on the boulder? You know, if you want to increase it a couple, I think you could. Is it mass out of control? Let's see what this season brings.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, before you go.
Okay, one more question. We need to keep the conversation to the table, but go ahead.
You want me here?
Yeah. Kind of help me out on, I mean, I'm a livestock man, and when we get a bear in the cow, you know, a kill, then we call the government trapper, and he comes and tries to catch it. So, but in your line of work, you're, like if you're guiding someone with a tag, are they hunting trophy, or are they just want to get a bear?
Depends on who it is. I'm not representing myself here as a guide. I'm a sportsman and recreationalist, but it all is the trophy's in the eyes of the beholder. I mean, you know, I went with Gary Hallows years ago over on the boulder, and he killed a male bear that 125 pounds, and he was in seventh heaven. On the other hand, you know, years back, I killed a bear on those sows that was 500 pounds. You know, I was in seventh heaven, so.
Yeah. Do you ever have a hunter who doesn't kill because it's not big enough?
Yes. Or sows. Just to tell
or
you straight.
Sows.
Yeah. I don't want to kill any sows. I want a boar. So.
Thank you. We've stopped our conversation.
Can I answer your question, sir?
From the floor. And we don't have any. We've closed the comment session, so this is going to stay at the rack level. So, thank you. Do we have any other comments from the rack? Wade?
I've asked for this the last 4 years, and I'm going to ask for it again. I think we need to move that summer season up to where it starts on May 19th. I mean, last year it was, or 2 years ago, it was because of the conflict, and now it's because of the Cubs, and next year it's because of a summer storm in Florida. I mean, who the hell knows? But I think that if you're the guy who doesn't have hounds, And you don't want to pay someone a lot of money to chase them, this is the most effective way to get it done. and to harvest a bear. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to hunt into June, and I know a lot of guys that do it. The problem with June is you start losing fur real quick. That second to third week of June, you start losing it. I've been fortunate enough to play down on San Juan Elk Ridge with a couple of my dad, my brother, two of my nephews have had those tags, and we've killed a lot of bears down there. And we've baited 2 weeks early, and the houndsmen have run off the bait, and we don't care. That doesn't bother us. The bears come back. You can ask these guys. If you guys rig on a road and your dogs run by a bait and you don't catch that bear and kill it, it's going to be back to eat a donut 2 days later. It's not that big a deal. The conflict I don't understand, because if you're that worried about the conflict with the tag guys, you just don't hunt until they're out of the field. You choose to put yourself in a situation where that conflict may or may not exist. So I'm gonna obviously make the recommendation that we move the baiting season up to May 19th. I don't know if we're ready for a recommendation yet, Chairman, but when we are, that I would like a chance at the microphone for that. So
okay. You'll have an opportunity to either make a motion or an amendment to the motion. Okay. Go ahead, Wade.
A second, Mr. Chairman. I'm just curious if I could ask the division, without opening it back up to massive comment, ask the division what, obviously the houndsman's recommendation with regard to these LaSalle and these other hunts are different than yours. What is your concerns with their recommendations?
Not specific. So we've met as a group. This is a discussion that primarily is this turned on. I can't tell. Can you hear me? Primarily focused on the book cliffs. So the question was, can we take the LaSalle San Juan season, put it on the book cliffs? And this compromise season was discussed in the group pertaining to the book cliffs. Guy Wallace was part of that discussion, and he started looking at some of this and said, you know what, there's some stuff here I think that maybe we could work with down here. The biggest concern is on the LaSalle's and San Juan. Currently, there's not a fall hound hunt on those seasons that overlaps any weapon deer and elk seasons. So our concern would be put having it go as late as that book list recommendation did. That'd be something new on the LaSalle's and San Juan. Whether we'd get complaints, we don't know. We got about 60 complaints that our COs reported on the LaSalle's last season, and that was during the archery hunt. We had hound hunting and archery, and that's the way it's been for a while. But we got a lot of complaints, and then on the San Juan we got about 30, and these are just, you know, COs out in the field checking people, and people, archers, complaining about dogs messing their hunt up. So what we're recommending this year is we reduce those tags. Guy felt like five tags, they didn't have the problems, but I think the region would still like to look at maybe looking at some season structure changes, but maybe not exactly what the houndsmen are proposing. We'd like to look at that too, and in addition to some other things I talked about a little earlier about a lot of people hunting one big long season. We might want to look. We'd like a chance to look at that. We'd like a chance to look at some of these units where we've got chronic depredation problems and see if there's ways we can target problem areas by having specific hunts and permits. So we're not recommending a change this year, but we would like to look at a lot of things over the winter and into the spring, and maybe come back next year with more. So those would be the only concerns that we would have.
Thank you. Okay, let's go with Berlin, then we'll go with Gene.
I just kind of needed a question on these bear numbers. Are you running off of a model like we do on everything else, like the buffalo and the elk?
This is the way we calculated that population estimate is based on dead bears that come in and are checked in at our offices. So anytime someone takes a bear, they got to check it in. So if you check in a 4-year-old bear in 2014, you know he was alive, and a 3-year-old the year before. And so you add back. And that's how we come. So this is a minimum. This is how many there had to be there in order to harvest that bear in that year.
Okay, so that sounds to me like it's not
We don't go count individual bears.
It's not
yet.
Very good because, yeah. Like these guys talked about, you know, when I ask him, he wants to kill his hunters want to kill a trophy, and they won't kill
right.
something maybe not, and they won't, and then you've got it skewed on the females too. So
yeah.
You know, and these ranchers are telling you how many bear are out there, even the sportsmen with the cameras and that. And
yeah, we agree that the bear population is growing.
Yeah,
we don't disagree there.
So yeah, from a agriculture rancher part, it's a problem. And those dollar values they put on that, they didn't just pick it out of the air. It's important. So yeah, I think if you could help us out on these problem areas and hunt more bear there and somehow get the hunters to harvest,
right.
And not turn it loose.
So, Verlin, just let me, that would be part of what we'll discuss today. And so if that is part of your desire or a motion or an amendment to increase tags or something like that, that's why we're here to have that discussion and discuss it as a rack. Gene?
Okay, we've talked a lot about depredation. Most of it seemed to be on the boulder. What's the Fish and Game doing about that situation? Are you going in and killing bears where they're a problem?
I'll let the region speak to that specifically, but just in general, there's several strategies when it comes to depredation. One is picking a harvest strategy that tries to lower populations overall on units when we know we've got chronic problems. Secondly, would be to work with wildlife services and give them the leeway to take problem bears. So if we know we have a bear taking livestock, we want them to take that bear. And then thirdly, we try whenever we can to get a sportsman involved in that process. So, you know, we had in the southeastern region, we had some bears that were getting into sunflowers. They were able to get a hunter to come and they told them, we need this bear taken, and it doesn't matter if it's big, you need to take it. And they had to agree to take whatever bear they treat. And so those are some of the tools that we use. I don't know if you want to talk specifically about the boulder, Teresa.
So in the region, the Wildlife Services staff, when they go out and verify loss, they call and report that to us. I think we had one on the Zion Panguitch this year that was a verified loss. And, you know, aside from that, I mean, I know you guys are losing animals, but we didn't have any, unless the Wildlife Services agents aren't giving me a call and letting me know that, we haven't had any other than the incident on the, and those are livestock loss only. We've had other conflicts with bird feeders and cabins on the Poncegons, but the livestock loss, none were reported to me through Wildlife Services. So unless I get that information, you know, we're not aware of that, you know, and they do go out and verify kills and let us know.
Okay, thank you.
So unless we're missing a piece of the pie there.
Riley?
Have you guys been losing 750 sheep and not reporting it or verifying it?
Gene?
I got a comment on that. The verifications, and most of those bears, when I say we're killing, are the Wildlife Services, okay? Most of those are. But your verification, the kicker in the ass is that, is they have to get there in time to verify it. And these guys are putting their name on there, and they're not signing something that they're taking your word. I mean, I'm not saying they think I'm dishonest, but if they started taking everybody's word, hell, we could zero out our losses through this. So they have to get there. You've got a wildlife, or trappers, I call them ADC, I don't know the word. I mean, I don't know how many permits our guy has, 28? And if you're getting hit on every one of those hit and miss. He can't get to those in time. And in the summer months in June, July, and August, that animal is gone before he can get to every one and verify it. So your verification is not an accurate deal. And these guys are doing the best they can. I'm not arguing that. But they're putting their name on there that is honestly going to be paid and honest. And they can't. I know my guy wants to take my word for it, but if he takes mine, he's got to take yours. He's got to take, shit, we could zero out or loss. And you know that the majority of the people are good, but there are those that would cheat it.
Thank you.
Does that answer it?
Sure. Thanks for that explanation. Let's try to keep our comments to the right. Thank you.
Is the thermostat broke?
No joke.
I'm freezing. If we're paying for this, I hope
we can get out of here quickly. If you get cold feet.
Mr. Chair, I probably owe the rack an apology. I did not mean to open that up to public comment, but I did feel like I needed a little more information to make a more informed decision, and believe I could do that now. And appreciate both the Houndsmen, the special interest groups, and the other conservation groups that are here tonight. And I can support this now, knowing that. So thank you for that.
Okay. Do we have any other comments, or are we getting close for a summary?
Mr. Chairman, I want to throw out just an idea. This is just kind of my broad general brush stroke of the whole thing. The climate for the entire state for the last 20 years has been grow bear populations. And that's what we've done statewide. We've seen the population increases. I'm not necessarily thinking that's a bad thing. Obviously, we have 6 units where we're trying to control the population. Everywhere else, we're letting the population rise, and which is fine. If this provides an opportunity, people love to go out and chase them, that is great. I do think we need to be mindful of a couple of things. One is just the problems that we have with the livestockmen. I mean, that's a real issue, obviously more with the sheep than anything else. But I do think we need to be mindful of that, and we need to be a little aggressive at times. We have been, and I'm not going to say this is a division, because this is all of us, RAC, board, division, everyone, we've been very slow to increase bear permits. On the area where I live, I've watched the bear population for the last 10 years, and then I've watched the permit numbers for the bears in that same area, and it's very slow to react. And I think that comes from the mentality of we're trying to grow bear populations almost everywhere unless there's a huge problem and a blow-up, and then we go in and try to address it. I wouldn't mind us being a little more responsive, a little quicker, similar to what we are with big game. Obviously, this is a tougher species to model, to have estimate populations and all that sort of thing. So I understand some of the drawbacks and disadvantages. The second thing I think we need to keep in mind is we've got an awful lot of big game hunters out there, considerably more big game hunters than we have bear hunters. And I do think we need to be mindful of the impact that we're having on those hunts. If that's the majority of the people out there, we need to be mindful of what they're doing, as opposed to just a select few on this other side.
Okay. I just wanted to summarize some of the comments that we heard from the audience. John Keeler came and mentioned 3 units, specifically the Beaver, Central Mountain, Ponsagant, that are experiencing higher numbers of bears and problems. The Houndsman came and indicated that they are in favor of the DWR's proposal, with the exception that we have on the email and paper in front of us, and that's on the LaSalle, the San Juan, and the Book Cliffs for the fall season dates, and we have that to consider. We had an individual from the audience that indicated he's seeing more and more bears on the Boulder Mountain each year with his cameras that he has out, which he has quite a few. We had a county commissioner, Will Talbot, from Paiute County, that's indicating increases in lost sheep from year to year. And We also had an individual from the North Manti area that seen considerable increase of bear sightings and situations on that unit as well. And then we've had a bunch of discussion amongst ourselves. So if, in summary, then, if we're ready to entertain a motion.
Right. I'll make the
All right. I might include it. Let me see if I can make a motion here. I'd make a motion to accept the division's proposals with two exceptions. One, I'd like to see the liberal bear units tags increase to their max adjustment across the board on the liberal units.
Hold on just a second. Make sure we get this.
I was talking real slow.
Sorry, I'm a slow typer. Increase to maximum
allowable. Maximum allowable adjustment.
Okay.
And the second would be to allow the bait season 2 weeks early.
One additional week
to what's proposed as the committee voted.
Does that address the Houndsman proposal or not?
Third. I'd also like to accept the Houndsman's proposal. Can I just say it like that or do I need to read it?
Read it.
The LaSalle, San Juan, Book Cliffs fall season dates for 2018 be changed to the following August 6th through November 16th with hound hunting restriction dates of August 18th through 24th and September 18th through 25th. I said that faster because you have a cheat sheet.
I do.
Okay. Do we have...
Do you want me to read that one?
Or do you want to say...
Well, we need a second first. Okay, we have a motion on the table. Do we have a second on the motion?
No,
we have a second, Rusty. Okay, now we'll, any discussion on the motion?
Yeah.
Okay,
Craig? I would like, if we increase those to the max, those liberals to maximum, I'd like to know what the number increases would be on those units.
It's on this.
Yeah, there's a handout that shows the bracket, the minimum and maximum adjustment. But let me read what, did you get which units are liberal? Because that's important, and that's not on that sheet. So that would be the Beaver, the Central Mountains Nebo, the 9 Mile, the South Slope Bonanza, Diamond Mountain Vernal. I think I missed that one on the last go through. Wasatch Mountains, Aviniquin, Current Creek, and Wasatch Mountains West Central.
So of the ones we discussed, that doesn't address anything on the Ponsagon or the North Manti, but it does address the Beaver and the Central Mountain. Units, and it doesn't address the Bolton. Any further discussion? Brian?
I just want to make sure that I'm understanding what I'm voting on here. Maybe later.
Let us.
We're arm wrestling down here, and he's stronger than me.
Do we need to read it to you again? Do you want to read it?
No, I'm just trying to get clear on the Houndsman proposal. It sounds like less days in the field with this, with your proposal than the division's proposal. Is that correct?
Overall, there would not be less days. It depends on the unit.
Depends on the unit.
Like Book Cliffs would pick up days. LaSalle, San Juan, it would be a slight decrease. But if you're picking up the month of October, which most guys are having a customer under, it's quite hell right to do, but get out of that in your hand.
Okay.
Berlin, do you want to make a comment?
Yeah, so
So the Boulder Mountain isn't in on that because it's not a liberal unit.
No, not a liberal unit.
So the numbers that they have proposed, according to the motion, would be the DWR's proposal? Unless you make an amendment to the motion.
Can we make an amendment to the motion to include the Boulder and the Ponsagant?
Okay. And you need to propose an increase if that's your intent.
I propose that we go to the maximum adjustment. Let's list it here. 10 and 3, I guess.
Okay, so we have an amendment to the motion to include the Boulder and the Ponsagant to increase the number of permits to the maximum adjustment for the Boulder and the Ponsagant. Do we have a second to the amendment? We have a second from Craig. Do we have any? So we'll just discuss the amendment right now.
Can you read that back? Sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to read the whole thing.
Just do this.
So I have it, the amendment to include the Boulder and the Ponsagant to be able to increase the number of tags to the maximal allowable adjustment.
Okay. So any discussion on the amendment? Okay. Gene?
I like that amendment. We've been... we've had information that bears are really increasing on the Boulder. We've had information that depredation's bad on the Boulder. I think we need to increase it. I've noticed with big game and with everything else that usually increase with caution and decrease more heavily, and I think that we need to be a little aggressive on increasing that Boulder bear tag.
Anybody else? Rusty?
So did we cover all you guys' concerns with this motion? The Boulder? The what?
The north.
It's got 25, I think, isn't it?
It's already at maximum.
It's a plus 7.
Do you want more?
Yeah.
How many?
It's already increased from 7, which is...
What's the maximum on the paper?
14.
14?
No,
that's...
No,
that's
no.
Isn't that the wrong one? North.
Sorry,
Oh, no, it is maximum. Okay.
We got everybody? Okay. Just double check.
Okay. Yeah, let's read it again where we're at.
Okay, so Braden motion to accept the division's recommendations with three exceptions. Number one, increase the number of tags on units with liberal management to the maximum allowable adjustment. That includes the Beaver, Central Mountains, Nebo, 9 Mile, South Vernal, what was the name of that?
South Slope.
South Slope. And then there's two Wasatch units, correct?
Yes.
And, so that's exception number one. Number two, allow the bait season to begin 1 week earlier than proposed. And number three, accept the houndsman's date proposal, which is the LaSalle, San Juan, and Book Cliffs fall season dates for 2018 be changed to August 6th through November 16th, with hound hunting restriction dates of August 18th through the 24th and September 8th through the 25th. And the amendment to the motion to include the Boulder and Ponsagant to increase the number of tags to the maximum allowable adjustment according to the plan.
Okay. Let's deal with this amendment before we do any other amendments or anything else. So we're just talking about the amendment. All those in favor? Okay, all those opposed? Okay, so the amendment passes, so it's now part of the main motion. Do we have any further discussion on the main motion? Okay, all those in favor? Okay, that's unanimous. Okay, that concludes this item. We'll turn some time over to Braden. And again, what I'd probably suggest is a motion that this be an action item. And then I'd also suggest that as you get the minutes for review, that you look at that and if there needs to be any corrections so we get it to the Wildlife Board and so it's clear on your concern.
I appreciate letting me do this, Chairman. And frankly, I take some ownership here because I should have written an email. I actually had intentions of going to the board meeting. Some work obligations came up, but as I discussed with people, it was always received really well, so I kind of thought it would fly through, and so I didn't take it maybe as serious as I should have. So this time I will write an email to the board members to let them know what I'm proposing and be a little more specific. Let me just add one more clarification that I kind of left out before, too. I mentioned that when you buy a crossbow, particularly hunting crossbows, higher-end crossbows, they almost always come with a scope. What I left out of that is those scopes actually have grids or dots for the yardages. So just having a higher power scope isn't the solution. It's that you actually have marks for your yardages. Just a side note. But the action item I'd like to make a motion. I'd like to make a motion for an action item to revisit the rule on crossbows and to allow crossbows to have a powered scope. And I think the way I'll address that is through an email to the board with some clarification.
Okay. So what we don't want to confuse it again because they do have a COR for a crossbow with a powered scope. So you want to make a distinction.
Thank you. We want that COR. What I'd actually ask is to get rid of the additional COR for the scope, which requires a 20/40 corrected eyesight. I'd like to just get rid of that COR and make it so crossbows can have powered scopes.
Okay. That's clear. Do we have a second? Okay, do we have any discussion? All those in favor? Unanimous. Okay, that's all the items I have. I call this meeting adjourned.